949-3570.
Apologizing to Sarah Palin. Oh, wait till you hear this one. Now came down on top of Letterman's show. Speaking of going down, the Dow was down 187 points, most in 2 months. We'll talk about business and where that's headed. In sports shorts, Brett Favre is considering returning to football again. Could it be Minnesota? The iPod certainly has killed the old-fashioned record store, and the last two Virgin megastores gone. I used to go to the one in Manhattan all the time. Some of you listening to me in Connecticut may have been there as well. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. But some of the big stuff happening in Iran, they are not backing down on tempers boiling over, and protests and demonstrations in Tehran continue. It's official, a lot of unhappy people, but sadly there's bloodshed starting to happen. At least there was on this fourth day of mass demonstrations. We'll talk more about that coming up. Closer to home, Barack Obama knows that health care will be front and center through the dog days of summer. He had an interesting phrase referring to our situation in this country as a ticking time bomb. Here in his own words, at a meeting with the AMA, and some of the doctors even booing him, not too happy. Here's a slice of that.
The cost of our health care is a threat to our economy. It's an escalating burden on our families and businesses. It's a ticking time bomb for the federal budget. If we do not fix our health care system, America may go the way of GM, paying more, getting less, and going broke. As Newt Gingrich has rightly pointed out, and I don't quote Newt Gingrich that often, we do a better job tracking a FedEx package in this country than we do tracking patients' health records. I'm not advocating caps on malpractice awards, which I believe, I personally believe, can be unfair to people who've been wrongfully harmed. But I do think we need to explore a range of ideas who will give warnings about socialized medicine and government takeovers, long lines and rationed care, decisions made by bureaucrats and not doctors. We have heard this all before.
As if on cue, the Senate's top Republican reacted.
Americans want health care reform.
All right, so you heard that a little slice there at the end. Of course, everybody reacting to what the president had to say, but this has now been going on and been talked about for a very long time. You heard a little bit of the boos when he was talking about the malpractice, and he went on for a very long time. The whole idea is reshaping whatever the healthcare system is and giving coverage to the millions of people who don't have it. That's the bottom line. So this was an annual meeting of the American Medical Association, and there are a lot of people that aren't happy with some of the suggestions that have been thrown on the table, because the concern is, will this be a full government takeover situation of health care? Does it mean that they'll establish something across the board for everybody? And a lot of people don't like the idea of it. I say, listen to our neighbors to the north, as many of them have joined us from Montreal and other parts on the show, to talk about what their health care is like in that country. And I've said this before, some say okay, some say decent, and some say it's terrible because of the setup, right? So in the meantime, the GOP is fighting back on some of the things that have been thrown out there, including Senator John Kyle, Republican from Arizona, introducing legislation to ban the rationing of care on the basis of effectiveness of various medical treatments, because that's one of the things that's being discussed, establishing priorities. And a lot of people think, wow, what does that mean? Denying coverage of something in a federal health care program? What if you need that something? How do you decide what the most important thing is? How do you go through lists of ailments and label them? Well, the fact is, 50 million Americans probably, could be more, could be a little bit less, have no insurance. No insurance. The bottom line is we certainly cannot call ourselves a superpower and continue down this ridiculous road of health care that we have in this country, right? But at the same time, you don't want the pendulum to swing so far in the other direction that it fails us in a much different way, right? And yes, you know, you see, here's the thing. You can talk about prevention, and that's important. You can talk about how much has been lost because of that, because of nobody getting any preventative medicine, people avoiding the doctor, people. And that's because of coverage. That's because of plans. That's because of not wanting to have to pay out of pocket what sometimes they have to pay out, because companies who used to offer really decent health plans sometimes can't afford it. So you have a rickety, broken-down health plan. And you don't want to pay the out-of-pocket costs, so you risk it. You take longer to go to the doctors. You don't get the preventative thing you might need done. If you feel something's wrong with you, sometimes you put it off, put it off, put it off. But how much do you parcel out to prevention, and how much do you decide goes in another direction? And if you're talking about cutting Medicaid, Medicare, also that could have lingering effects too. So the idea is cutting, the gist of it that's being pushed out there is cutting federal payments to hospitals by about $200 billion and then cutting $313 billion for Medicare and Medicaid over 10 years. And then a $635 billion, and look at these billions, $635 billion in tax increases and, of course, spending cuts in the healthcare system. So a down payment basically for the president's plan. So a lot of people divided over some of the proposals, skeptical. How do you create government-sponsored insurance as an option alongside private coverage? Because that's been the thing that's been talked about the most. If you like your coverage, you're happy with it, you can keep your private coverage. But then what about the people who need it? Well, then you have this government-sponsored insurance. How does that work when it comes to parceling out the money and the doctors? You can see how there could be serious problems. Then there's limits on jury awards and medical malpractice lawsuits, caps, that a lot of Democrats normally would have opposed in the past, right? But now they're talking about focusing on that as well. Oof. I'm sure the doctors like that one, but the problem is, in some ways, but the problem is with the malpractice is sometimes, like when people have instruments left inside them or when they're getting shoddy care, it is a route that you should go, that you should be able to use. But like everything else, it became abused in a sue-happy country, and that's the problem, right? A lot of things are out of whack. A lot of things are out of whack. And I blame it probably more on the bean counters, like everything else in this country, than anything that you could point to, any other thing you could point to in all of the healthcare system. It always comes down to the almighty dollar, right? That's what it is. That's why the healthcare system is failing so many people, because of some of the reasons that I just said. They can't afford to get the treatment. Anyway, I jumped on a big fat soapbox. I know some of you have sent me emails on this. We'll talk about that later. AmericaTonight.net. So coming up on the flip side, boy, you're going to love this. An undercover intelligence agent who had to use torture. Mark Ebert joins us next for some fascinating conversation here on America Tonight.
This is Alex Jones with important news. I want to warn you about a deadly storm that's fast approaching, a storm that will affect you and everybody you know. Here's the story. The current administration is committed to nationalizing health care, giving 40 million new people free care. Now here's the bad news. The current system will almost be immediately overwhelmed by these new demands for free services and procedures. Medicare and Medicaid are already bankrupt. Many doctors are now leaving their practices frightened by the prospect of forced procedures. All this is creating a perfect storm, which could create unimaginable shortages in the healthcare services. Folks, it's time to be prepared for the worst. Our friends at Solutions from Science have recently come up with an emergency preparedness course that reveals how you can make powerful herbal medicines in the privacy of your own home. It's called Herbal Preparations and Natural Therapies, and it's flat out the best course of its kind. I recommend you visit this important new website at MakeHerbalMedicines.com. That's MakeHerbalMedicines.com, or call toll free 877-327-8255. 0365.
Good day. Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. June 15, 2009. Gold opened this morning at 935.20. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for 962.06, 481.03 for a half ounce, and 240.52 for a quarter ounce. That's 962.06, 481.03, and 240.52.
On June 4th, 1963, an unknown presidential decree, Executive Order 11110, was signed with the authority to strip the Federal Reserve Bank of its power to lend money to the United States government and interest. With the stroke of a pen, Kennedy would have put the Fed out of business. The November assassination quieted the production of the new currency. However, the executive order still stands unrepealed. Midas has the Kennedy versus Fed document. Call 800-686-2237. Unlike your liberty, the paper is free. Call 800-686-2237. If you're interested in breaking the bondage of taxation and debt, call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com, or call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and help us win this battle.
At CIA Director Leon Panetta's suggestion in the New Yorker magazine that maybe Dick Cheney is hoping for another attack on this soil here in the United States. We'll talk about that. We did a little bit yesterday. I said I can't believe that he said that unless it was somehow a mangled quote. I have some interesting thoughts on that. That's, again, coming up later in America Tonight. Kate Delaney, happy as always to be hanging with you cats from east to west and everywhere in between. Excited about our next guest, because how often do we talk about this? Undercover intelligence, that's what this guy did, Mark Ebert, for a very long time. In fact, 26 years. Got a new book out called Under Every Rock. And we're thrilled to welcome him to the show. Mark, thanks for hanging with us. We appreciate the time, man.
Thank you for having me on.
Let's talk about, let's talk about what you did. You admit that you were involved in torture. Now, when you say that, some people wince, and then other people say, they lean forward and say, tell me more. So here's just an open-ended question. Did you find that it worked?
Okay, let me first define torture. As far as, like, breaking fingers, I did not do that. I was involved in what we now call politically correct enhanced interrogation.
Right.
I went over the Geneva Convention, over the military handbooks. I broke a few rules, but I got success.
And so when you say you got success, when you use the enhanced interrogation techniques, I like that, by the way, too, Mark, because I always say that. We have to say the politically correct words.
Oh, sure. That's going to ruin this nation.
Yeah, I agree. We are so on the same page on this.
Yeah.
So when you found that you were in the situation you had to do that, because, I mean, this is your job. You've got to get – you're interrogating. You have to get information, right? And when we're talking about you're in the field and you have to get information – You're trying to get information from would-be terrorists, right, or a terrorist who could assassinate somebody, or what was the deal?
Well, usually when I was called in, it was somebody that we need the information now. We don't have 2 weeks, 6 months, a year to draw it out of this guy. We need it now. This is the reason. And so that's why I was usually brought in.
And the whole idea before is, I mean, there wasn't, obviously, there was, it was more, I'm going to call it cloak and dagger because people didn't really know what was going on anyway. There, it was a whole different, if we go back a decade and a half ago, there were some things that would leak out, but not like it is now in this whole battle we're having about Guantanamo and a couple of other things and then at the aftermath of 9/11 and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, in doing, in the effectiveness of the techniques, I mean, that's what you were taught, right? I mean, as you said, you looked at the Geneva Conventions, et cetera, and you were, if you're part of a U.S. anti-terrorism squad and you're somewhere planted in the world, it, obviously all of you know that this is the direction you're going to go, right?
Yes, pretty much so. We are, that's the direction we're going to go. And the thing is, and I don't know where we've gone wrong in our thinking, Americans thinking, that what we do to these people, even going then calling it the enhanced interrogation, is above and beyond, is considered even torture. For example, like if I ask somebody, if I plug a couple wires into you and shoot 3,000 or 4,000 volts of electricity, would you call that torture? Of course, everybody's going to go, oh, yeah. But yet, we allow it on our streets every day to American citizens. It's called a taser.
Yeah.
But yet, somebody that's trying to destroy our country, all of a sudden, it's called torture.
Yeah. Would you say you're proud of the work you did? Would you say that you may have saved lives in the information that you were able to gather?
Oh, yes. I have no qualms at all to say that I never lost a minute's sleep over what I did. And I can't, as far as I know, I've never walked away without gaining some part valuable information.
And when you were in, seriously in the game and you're undercover, as they say, were you all over the world? Where were the situations on our soil? Was it different places?
No, I never worked on our soil. I was always abroad, overseas, in different. I've been to like 127 different countries.
Wow. When you signed up for this, did you think that was pretty much what you did? Did you think that was how it was going to all go down after 26 years?
Well, no, not exactly, because when I first started in this was during the Cold War when my career began. So I was more into the black ops, the getting information, you know, for lack of a better word, spy.
Right.
And as 9/11 hit, my priorities changed, and that's when I became more into the interrogation end of it.
And when 9/11 hit, when that happened, did that pretty much that's what everybody was talking about and everybody was doing in the organization, right? Pretty much.
Yes. Yes. That's the, when 9/11. If you would have 2 weeks after 9/11, if you just said, "Well, hey, guess what? Sorry, America, we waterboarded somebody," there wouldn't have been a thing said. In fact, there'd probably been applause. But America has this. They forget easy as time goes on. And now you mention some of the things we do that happens at frat parties every Saturday night. You know, it just, people are outraged.
Yeah. Osama bin Laden, do you think he's dead or alive?
No, I think he's alive. I don't think where they think he is.
They think he's still in
Tor Bor Mountains or Pakistan. I don't, but that's just from sources that I've picked up here and there and just piecing stuff together.
Did you find, you know, because when the whole Valerie Plame thing happened, of course, that, you know, the fact that it was revealed who she was and then were sources compromised and all that stuff. Did you worry about anything like that happening with you? In other words, worried ever in your career? Because you know you can't compromise your sources or you're pretty much dead in the game ultimately, right?
Right, yeah. Yes, I worried about that a lot. I still do worry about it a lot. With this administration we have in there, they are not, they don't care who they're going to jeopardize or who they're going to get hurt in the field as long as they can pull out somebody's name that either tortured somebody or did something, you know, outside the line. They don't care how many people they're going to hurt by doing that. And that's very scary. And that me and everybody else second-guess themselves. You know, you're in a situation where you have to make decisions right now. You know, do I do this to this guy to get this information or don't I? Well, then you start and say, well, geez, I could spend the rest of my life in jail for doing my job. So, no, I'm not going to go that extra mile. And that's what a lot of them are doing now.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. Do you feel like a lot of your colleagues, because obviously a lot of you have off-the-record conversations because you have each other's back and like anybody else in any other business, and do you feel like a lot of people are saying, whoa, as much as we want to do this, we have to take a step back because we're near retirement, or we've done all this valuable work for the country, but now we're afraid to go that extra step, like you say, because we could end up being prosecuted?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we talk about it all the time. I don't know how well-known it is. I don't think I've heard it on the news yet, but I don't know if people are aware that now when they catch a detainee over in Afghanistan, Pakistan, or wherever, do you know they read them the rights, the Mirandas?
No.
They're now required to read them the Mirandas. The first thing out of Miranda, you have a right to remain silent. Now you're going to try to interrogate them.
Wow. That would make it rather difficult, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Very. I mean, a lot of people don't know that.
And that's everywhere. Afghanistan, wherever it would happen to be, Baghdad, wherever in the Middle East, et cetera.
Right. The Obama administration is pushing this to be a law, not a war. They want it run like a crime, not like a war.
Do you think that there are a lot of bright people out there that would be valuable to the CIA or other agencies who may back off of this career? That's my biggest fear, that you're not even going to get people that can speak Farsi, Arabic, or have good connections, et cetera, and sources. Will a lot of people back out?
Oh, sure. I see it now. I probably lost 10 sources myself.
Because they're afraid.
And you can't blame them. Well, you know, you get taken in, you get brought up, you know, you got to give them our name. Now I'm dead over here, you know. I mean, yeah, it happens a lot.
Wow. Hey, can you hang with us, Mark? We're going to talk about your book and a little bit more about things that you've seen in the field, et cetera.
Sure.
All right, so fascinating stuff. We're talking to a man who knows undercover intelligence well, Mark Ebert, joining us again on the flip side for the rest of this conversation here on America Tonight.
You want answers? You can't handle the truth.
Order. When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Are you concerned for the safety of your loved ones? Listen closely to this message from pepperspray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed. America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart. Be safe. Trust Pepper Spray instead of your luck. Pepperspray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. Pepperspray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. Pepperspray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety.
Enter SAFE in the coupon box and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to pepperspray.com. That's pepperspray.com. Or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home, paycheck, and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. We also provide mortgage modification services, which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure problems, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
You already know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline ingredients. Using plasma pH drops is one of the best ways to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops per liter of water you drink to raise the pH to the ultimate level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-216-9767. 269-216-9767 today.
Welcome back, everybody. Kate, hanging with you here on America Tonight as we continue with Mark Ebert. 26 years in the intelligence business, certainly you'd have to say that he's seen and done it all. And we just talked about, as Mark and I say this all the time on the show, enhanced interrogation techniques, the PC police's version of what's happening. Now, Mark, in talking about the 127 countries and places that you've been to, in looking at the Middle East, and obviously you spent time there, the most dangerous spot, do you think, the stuff coming out of the Middle East that could be the most harmful to American citizens, in your opinion, where is it? Is the future, is it Iran because of Ahmadinejad once again staying in power? Is it Afghanistan because of all the things happening there? Is it ultimately Pakistan? What do you think?
Well, right now, I would say it's Pakistan. You've got the Taliban and those nukes over there. Even though we have people that are, you know, assigned right now, the idea of them getting to those is probably the most dangerous thing we face right now. And the problem being is because we're not in control and we can't legally, without doing what they want us to do, there's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah.
And to me, that is the most dangerous spot right now I can think of. If something was to be done right now, it would be that.
Do you think you're talking about the Obama administration and their what they're doing now as far as security is concerned, and Dick Cheney, who's saying, listen, I think there's some big mistakes being made and all this other sort of stuff when it comes to Guantanamo, et cetera. And, of course, Leon Panetta sort of fires back and defending Barack Obama and the administration and saying that Dick Cheney doesn't need to be spouting off all this sort of stuff. Basically, I'm paraphrasing because that's not exactly what he said, but that's what he's saying. and has been saying he's defending what's going on and saying that we still are safe and the CIA is still doing what it has to do. But in your opinion, because of the direction that we're headed in when it comes to intelligence and people being afraid to push limits and all that other sort of stuff and all the information that's being revealed, do you think there is more of a chance of something happening in the country?
Oh, yes. Yes, very much so. And we're taking our eye off probably one of the most dangerous spots to our security here in the United States right now, and that's the southern border. In my book, even back in the early 90s, Mideast people down there training. Mm. That's a hot spot for training grounds for these people. Well, you know how porous our border is. I mean, I don't know why they're building tunnels when they could just walk across, basically. And we're not allowed to touch them. I mean, it's just that to our nation's security right now is our southern borders.
And when you talk about the training, and you know, that can be obviously any of the so-called terror cells, right? Because there's so many various factions, whether it's sort of Hamas-based or whether you're talking about Al-Qaeda, et cetera, right? Is there one particular group, if we wanted to give a name to it, that you think is the most dangerous and could do the damage in the U.S. again?
I would say right now it'd be Hamas. Everybody's keeping their eye on Al-Qaeda, but right now Hamas, I believe, is the most dangerous to us right now. There are so many fractions. If you look at the charities that have been brought down in the United States from that were funding the terrorists, they would have big conferences in the big cities and come for these fundraisers, and the money would go, you know, supposedly to charity, but it was going to the terrorists. Well, every group, Al-Qaeda, Hamas, they all had representatives there. So even though there is separate factions, they are starting to become one.
And
you know, they work together. I mean, they basically work together.
And do you think, and you make a good point, I mean, we saw in Richardson, Texas, the Holy Land Foundation and what happened there and people thinking nothing of it and going to the charity functions they had, and it's exactly what they were doing. They were funneling money and eventually, of course, got convicted for that. So you don't think you think it's naive to think that, wow, we're just totally safe and there have been plots that have been thwarted and all this other stuff in the past. I mean, do you believe, and we talk about Hamas, do you believe that there are definitely people assimilating in the United States?
Oh, yes. We know of 35 cells here in the United States, continental United States.
And nothing can be done to break that up, or there's some informants, or they're working on it?
Well, there again, you get the FBI's involved because CIA is not allowed to work on our soil. But they're on compounds, basically. They cannot, without probable cause, like, you know, the law says, we cannot go in there. They've done nothing wrong. They've broken no laws. There's no warrants out on them. So besides just observing, right now there's nothing that they can do to them legally.
Yeah. You know, Bob Baer, who was a longtime CIA agent, and he is the movie Syriana was loosely based on some of what he had seen, and George Clooney played him in the movie. And when all the interrogation memos came out and they were released, and the whole thing about, oh, we're torturing the waterboarding and how many times with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and all that other sort of stuff, he said that he didn't think that torture worked, that he was a guy who was involved in it and he didn't see how it worked. You say that it does work. Do you think more people who are in the intelligence game would say it does work?
Well, there's a certain point you reach in torture, what we want to call, if you want to call it torture, but there's a certain point you reach where, no, it doesn't do any good. If you start, you know, physically injuring them, like, say, pulling fingernails, breaking, no, you're just going to get an answer, anything to make the pain go away. So I do agree with that. What I don't agree with is our limitations, what we're calling torture. In other words, stripping some guys down in their underwear and putting a naked woman in front of them, to me, I mean, I know guys that would pay $100 for that, but
right.
We call it torture. Yeah. It's what we have decided, or somebody has decided, is torture. And to me, that is not torture. Not when you're talking about saving thousands and thousands of American lives.
Yeah. Gitmo, should it be closed down? Is it such a horror show that people are saying?
No. No. Gitmo, the thing is, people don't realize, they did, what was it? I think it was 48,000 they did 48,000 interrogations down there last time I had heard. Out of those 48,000, three of them were considered overboard, and that was right after they opened.
Right.
That's a pretty good record. And they have it better down there than these prisoners up here ever thought about having, our own people up here ever thought about having. And the idea, and it doesn't even scare me so much as turning these people loose back in their own country. We'll have them back again, or we'll have to kill them again, hopefully before they kill some of ours, our soldiers. But what scares me is they're talking, the administration is talking about putting them in to our prison system. Can you imagine the breeding ground that's going to cause?
Oh, yeah, the radicalization is exactly, Robert Mueller, the FBI director, said, fought against that and said that would be ridiculous.
It would. It would just, I mean, people in prisoners, they love to, you know, they have to have something to hang on to. A lot of them gain religion when they get in there. They do this. They want something to hang on to. They have to have something. And you give them something like this, it just scares me to death. At least now when, even though it's called, even though now when we're looking for somebody, we have an idea what we're looking for.
Yeah.
We're looking for somebody 20 to 30 years old, Mideast, we have an idea. But if you ingrain American people into that, it makes that job 50 times harder.
Yeah, I would agree with you, absolutely. All right, your book is called Under Every Rock, and it's a fictionalized tale of your life as an intelligence agent. How hard was it to put it together, and why fictionalized?
Well, after so many legal battles, I finally decided to just, I've had enough of the lawyers and stuff. So what it is, basically everything in the book is true except for the names and the places. The missions, the operations, they were all true. The country, everything was true, just I had to change the names and everything for legality-wise.
Because, why? Was it the CIA? Was it another agency that said you couldn't do that and you fought them legally?
Right. I had I first sent the copy in to the CIA to try to get it approved through their, censor department, I call it. And the whole book was blacked out. I mean, there were some thugs and ands in there, and that was about it. So I just, after about the fourth time, I just gave up and said, I'm just going to call it fictionalized, but I did put a disclaimer in the front, but everything is true in there except for the names and the places.
Yeah, that's what happens to, there have been other people that have walked in those same shoes and they've had the same problem they've had the same problem, obviously, that you've had. You would go back and do it all over again, wouldn't you?
You bet. And I wouldn't change a thing.
127 countries, and you still have probably, as you said, you lost a bunch of sources, but you probably still have some sources in some good spots, right?
Oh, yes, I am.
And do you try to help other people out? Do people call you and say, geez, Mark, you got to help me out? Do you kind of try to help one of your fellow brethren out if they really need it?
Yeah, if their life is really in danger, if they think they've been compromised, yes, I'll do everything I can to help them out.
All right, I
still stay in contact with a lot of them.
Good for you. Mark Ebert, what a patriot. Thanks for coming on America Tonight, and the book is called Under Every Rock. Can we have you back on again?
Sure, anytime.
All right, terrific guest. Hang with us, much more to come here on ATN.
Hey, hang on, you guys. I'll be right back.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. there are 16 large hermetically sealed non-hybrid open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe fresh vegetables, ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Would you give someone $100 for a $10 bill? If you're taking vitamins and minerals in a pill form, that's exactly what you're doing. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman. According to the Physician's Desk Reference, many vitamins and minerals in a pill form are 10% absorbed. It doesn't take a mathematician to figure out for every $100 you spend on these pills, you're flushing $90 down the toilet. Start absorbing the nutrients you swallow. Introducing Chews for Health, a delicious-tasting chewable containing 16 superfruits, sea vegetables, and antioxidants. You know, you work hard for your money. Isn't it time to start getting what you pay for? Order today. 1-800-210-1922. With Chews for Health, your body gets to keep the nutrients you swallow. The first 300 callers are going to receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchews.com.
Hey everybody, time to lighten the load on America tonight. How about some news you can abuse? Yeah, we changed courses here. So let's go to Elgin, Illinois, also Vermont, and Lawrence, Kansas. You're going to like some of these stories. Check this out. In Vermont, they had bike riders over the weekend, apparently, that didn't wear anything. They weren't wearing shorts, nothing. Shirt, zero. About 40 of them rode naked through the streets of Vermont's capital city over the weekend. So what was the idea? Why were they doing it? They did, some of them, have on helmets. There's no law, I guess, against public nudity in Vermont. Did you realize that? I think we've talked about Vermont and nudity before. So the idea is people like 77-year-old Ross Stevenson, one of the naked riders, was able to do it. His wife of 55 years, Nancy, however, said she's not a nudist. And so the Nothing to Hide ride, that's what it was called, was part of the World Naked Bike Ride designed to promote bikes as an alternative to cars. Good idea. But I don't know that I would want to ride naked ever. I don't know about the rest of you out there. But imagine if you fell. We're talking about very little protection, if you get what I mean. Flag Day just a couple of days ago, and it's an interesting story. Out of Illinois, a garbage truck driver, a guy named Jeff Olson, did something cool. He found 250 American flags that were being tossed in the trash. I mean, they were in the trash when he found them. He's actually a Canadian, and his wife did two tours of duty as a U.S. Army medic in Kuwait. So to him, throwing flags in the garbage is like stomping on them. Federal law, of course, calls for worn-out flags to be disposed of in a dignified way. So good for him for digging them out and trying to put them to good use, I understand, as well, donating them to several different people. Lawrence, Kansas. Imagine a giant omelet from an emu. I can't imagine it. There's a woman named Anna Merkel who sells huge green emu eggs at her table at the farmer's market. The eggs go for about $4 a piece. Now, they weigh up to 2 pounds. Wow. And they're the equivalent of about a dozen chicken eggs. She has 8 pairs of breeding birds on her Sundance Emu Ranch, and they scramble a lot of emu eggs. One egg is enough for breakfast, lunch, and dinner for some. 2 pounds. I don't know, Donovan, have you ever had an emu egg?
Can't say that I have, no.
2 pounds. Imagine that. Think of an egg in your hand, and now multiply that by how much heavier that would be. I can understand why it would feed you for all 3 meals, but I wonder what it tastes like.
And I wonder what it would do to your cholesterol level.
That's a good question. I need to call a doctor and find out about that. That's the better question. Cholesterol. Maybe it multiplies, it makes it higher. I don't know, maybe it helps it in the other direction. good point, my friend. How about this one? We were talking about the naked ride through the streets of Vermont's capital city. In Beaver, Pennsylvania, they're doing this road trip. This sounds kind of cool. 1919 style. It's the 2009 Transcontinental Motor Convoy. So what they're doing is they're recreating the first cross-country journey of motorized cars. And that's what happened. There was a convoy of army trucks that drove from Washington to San Francisco. It was a 3,200-mile trip that actually took 2 months. So starting this weekend, some military trucks and jeeps left Washington bound for the West Coast. They are passing, I guess now they are just past the Pittsburgh area. But unlike 90 years ago, the trucks, of course, are more likely to be stuck in traffic than on some of these barely passable dirt paths, which probably held them up a little bit in a much different way. I think it'd be fun to be able to do that. And finally, Rigby, Idaho. You know we're going to talk about potatoes, right? Idaho potatoes can be fried, baked, distilled into vodka. Yeah. Distilled Resources produces everything from, I guess, a huckleberry to a cucumber-flavored vodka for a number of boutique labels. The preferred spud for booze is Idaho Russert. Burbank, it's called. So the company's plant originated in the 70s to produce ethanol fuel, but the owners of the distilled resources found that there was actually a better market for vodka than spud-powered cars at the time. So they're experimenting with different types of spirits, you might say. One is an aged vodka, which is more like whiskey, and another one you mix with tonic, and they're messing around with it, but apparently there's a serious market. Well, they have plenty of potatoes to fool around with, for sure. Let's jump to this day in history, if you wind the clock back. Here's what's really weird. I know I say this all the time, but it is truly, like, I swear, the sands of time are just flying by. There are actually less than 200 days left in the year. So if we went back in history and we went to 1858, as he accepted the Illinois Republican Party's nomination for U.S. Senate, Abraham Lincoln said at the time the slavery issue had to be resolved, declaring a house divided against itself cannot stand, a very famous phrase. In 1567, now we're going way back, Mary, Queen of Scots, was imprisoned in a castle in Scotland. She escaped almost a year later, but ended up imprisoned, of course, again. In 1897, the government actually signed a treaty of annexation with Hawaii. In 1903, Ford Motor Company was incorporated. What would Henry Ford think of the auto industry now? The highs and the lows of it all. In 1959, actor George Reeves, TV Superman, was found dead of an apparently self-inflicted gunshot wound in the bedroom of his Beverly Hills, California home. He was just 45. Remember they made that movie? Ben Affleck played him in the movie. I can't think of the name of it now, but it's pretty good, actually. 1963, the world's first female space traveler, Valenta Treznikova, was launched into orbit by the Soviet Union again in 1963, and she was actually the first female to do that. 1978, President Jimmy Carter and Panama's leader exchanged the instruments of ratification for the Panama Canal treaties. If we go to 10 years ago, Vice President Al Gore formally opened his candidacy for the Democratic presidential nomination. We know how that turned out. 5 years ago, rebuffing the Bush administration's claims, the independent commission investigating the September 11th attack said no evidence existed that Al-Qaeda had strong ties to Saddam Hussein. Boy, there was massive controversy over that. Tiger Woods, 1 year ago, playing on an injured knee that later required season-ending surgery, won an incredible battle after a 19-hole playoff with Rocco Mediate in the U.S. Open history. That goes down as one of the all-time best. We've got birthdays for you, some from the world of music, a few authors, and interesting ones in between. Country singer Billy Crash Craddock, some people know that name, is 70 years old. Author Joyce Carol Oates is 71. Actress Laurie Metcalf is 54. She was in that Roseanne Barr series. Been in a couple of other things as well. Actor Clifton Collins Jr. is 39. Singer Diana DeGarmo from American Idol is 22 years old. Actor James Patrick Stewart is 41. Pop singer Gino Vannelli, 57 years old. Actress Joan Van Ark from Knott's Landing Days, 66 years old. Also celebrating a birthday, boxer Roberto Duran, 58 years old. Famous for a couple of big, big fights. Actor John Cho is 37. Also celebrating a birthday, actress Chyna Shavers is 32 years old. R&B singer Eddie Leppert is 67 years old. Might remember that name from the Stylistics. Going back in history now, if you're an R&B person. It's an R&B singer, James Smith, from, again, the group The Stylistics, 59 years old. Actor Jeff Pearson is 60 years old. That's a face you would know. See, some of these people, you know their face, but you don't necessarily know their name. Sometimes that's a good thing in the world of acting. Going to leave you with this thought. Not to know is bad. Not to want to know is worse. Not to hope is unthinkable. Not to care is unforgivable.
Politicians are a lot like diapers. They should be changed frequently and for the same reason.